Welcome to episode 51 of the Princeton Podcast, produced by the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. In this episode, our Princeton Podcast host, Mayor Mark Frieda, welcomed Andrew Siegel, Hamilton Jewelers COO. Andrew described his family's four-generation history of Hamilton Jewelers, from its first store established in Trenton in 1912 to its current five stores, three of which are here in downtown Princeton. Andrew discussed his lifelong involvement with the Princeton community, including his leadership roles in the Princeton Merchants Association and their transition to Experience Princeton, our special improvement district aimed at enhancing our local business economic development. Andrew also highlighted the challenges and opportunities of managing a local retail business, reflecting on the importance of community engagement, adaptation during economic downturns, and the best activities to enhance Princeton's local business climate. So without any further introduction, let's join our host, Mark Frieda, and his guest, Andrew Siegel, for episode 51 of the Princeton Podcast.
Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
It's an honor, Mayor. Thank you for having me.
I believe you're involved in two retail businesses here in town in Princeton. Could you just tell us a little bit about what they are?
I am, yes. We now have a third retail business in town, and my family and I own Hamilton Jewelers. We've been in town since the 80s and in Mercer County since 1912. We also have H1912 a couple doors down, the vintage store that we own that sells vintage and pre-owned jewelry, and then our newest endeavor, Hamilton Home on Witherspoon Street.
I like Hamilton Home. I've been in there a couple times.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hey, so could you briefly share the history of Hamilton Jewelers with us?
Absolutely, happy to. Hamilton was founded in 1912 in Trenton. Really started as a small storefront in the old Trenton, and where there were a lot of burgeoning businesses. My great-grandfather purchased the business a few years later, heading right into the Depression. And so he had to learn really quickly how to maneuver and how to adapt and how to really change with the times, as he essentially purchased a diamond and jewelry store right when people were not interested in purchasing diamonds and jewelry. Through some ingenuity and hiring an optician so that people could get their eyeglasses fixed, and he sold Zippo lighters and leather goods, really adapted quickly and came out of the Depression with his new business and a new lease on creating something for our family. And it's been in our family ever since. We came to Princeton in 1986, and in the Lower Pine building on the corner of Nassau and Witherspoon. And one of our favorite stories was that it, of course, originally was a dormitory for the university, then became a bus station, as a few listeners, I'm sure, would remember. And for the first few years, people came into our jewelry store looking for their bus ticket. We have a lot of good stories there. And really, from there, we expanded, which maybe some Princetonians don't know, we expanded to Palm Beach and Palm Beach County. My great-grandfather, quote-unquote, retired in the 70s, and a few months later opened up a store on Worth Avenue in Palm Beach. So we've been in Palm Beach, and Palm Beach Gardens is our other location there ever since. And so we have currently five locations between Florida and New Jersey, between Hamilton Home, H1912, and the Hamilton Jeweler stores. And we've always been proud members of Mercer County and proud residents of Princeton, and really, most importantly, proud to do business here.
Thank you. That's a great story. It's always interesting to find out how a business started, and obviously it's not always smooth sailing. So.
For sure. Yeah. It was not the best timing, but also I think really set the stage for us to weather future storms.
Yeah. So let's talk about you a little bit in the community. I know you were very involved in the former Princeton Merchants Association. Could you tell us a little bit about the association and your involvement in that group?
When I joined Hamilton Jewelers about 7 years ago, I came from a consulting job in Atlanta, and I moved to Manhattan. And I remember I was commuting back and forth, and that didn't last very long. And as soon as my wife and I moved into Princeton, we actually met with Councilwoman Michelle Perrone Lambros, as well as the former president of the Princeton Merchants Association, Jack Morrison. And both of them had mentioned to me that there was the route that I could take to get more involved in the community now that I was here. And the PMA, or the Merchants Association at the time, was it. So little did I know, I joined the board for 1 year and then was guilted into running for president, and had the honor and privilege of serving as president of that organization. As we really had hit our stride and knew what we were doing in terms of representing merchants in the community and advocating for merchants in the community. And then got to a point where, as I'm sure we'll talk about, we began looking into a special improvement district. And I had the distinct honor of serving as president as we sunsetted the Princeton Merchants Association and rolled into the new improvement district. And it was one of the most transformative times of my professional career because of the opportunity to meet and serve so many of our town's merchants that either I grew up going to or loving to visit, or new merchants who would come in and were looking to make their name in Princeton, and really advocating for those businesses. And it was really my honor to be able to do it.
You were on the town's economic development committee also, right? Prior to the Experience Princeton, which
I
is
was.
The SID.
Yeah. Some may know once you get started in Princeton, it's easy to get tied into other things. And I served on the Economic Development Committee when your predecessor, Mayor Lempert, was here. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about that was really the discussion around the table and the opportunity to bring in people to have ideas that we really felt for, I think, the first time that I can remember, merchants and people who had a stake on the economics of the town really having quite a voice. And I believe that committee was probably the springboard for the relationship that the town and the council has with merchants today. It was a great opportunity for us to have our voices heard, but also to hear the perspective from town government about why certain things may not work and some of the challenges that you all have as you work through things. And I think it really opened the communication lines and was a, I think, also, as we learned, as those the committee went on, sometimes you have to weigh how effective is this going and is this really affecting change versus maybe another avenue or another route. And yeah, from my understanding, it became pretty clear between the Merchants Association and the EDC, the committee, that the SID was the next step.
Yeah. All right. So one more question along the same vein,
sure,
which is the natural extension, is that you're now an officer on Experience Princeton board. So talk a little bit about that, right? Because that's not quite the same as the Princeton Merchants Association.
It's, yeah, I think, as I said, you just get looped in and you keep going. So yes, when Experience Princeton was formed, that next obvious iteration, as you said, again, honored to be asked to even be a part of the steering committee. It's really interesting. I make no bones about the fact that I was one of the naysayers at first. I wanted to keep the Merchants Association going. As president, I felt that we had a great opportunity to continue serving merchants. But I also realized that a budget is important and resources are important. Yeah. And the Merchants Association, as a volunteer-only organization with very little budget that just essentially had to hope that people would join year over year, we just didn't have the resources to get done what Princeton merchants needed us to get done as the town was growing. And when Experience Princeton came aboard with a much larger budget, obviously, a full-time employee, which helps a lot so that the onus wasn't all on volunteers, I at first was skeptical, but realized very quickly what a benefit it could be if done properly for the town. The if done properly thing was the big sort of if there. And so I said, if I can have a hand in trying to make this happen and trying to make this for the merchants, by the merchants, as the PMA was, I'd like to be involved. I'm very happy to be involved. I'm the vice president of the organization. I serve with Isaac, the executive director, as well as Aubrey and our other executives and our board members. And this is my role as vice president. Is really, people make jokes around the table all the time. I'm the person who I'm the only person without a job description. The treasurer has a role, the president has a role, the note takers have a role. And one of the things that I naturally moved into was being the merchant liaison from my time at the Merchants Association. And I hope that I'm doing a job that allows merchants to see that we're working for them and can work with them on certain things and keep the communication lines open.
Yeah, I think it's a great group and it's working fairly well at the moment. But
yes, for sure.
So what do you think attracts a business to come to Princeton and open a location here? And also there's this new trend where people, you know, co-tenancy. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it's, I think there's, where this is, people like to say this, but I believe it's true. Princeton is unique. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that would attract someone to come here. First of all, let's talk about location, right? Centrally located between Philly and New York. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why Princeton played such a role in our nation's history. The location is important. In addition to the location, certainly the allure of the town is remarkable. It's a beautiful town. We're lucky to live and do work in a beautiful town with amazing buildings and streetscapes that, when there's not construction, are beautiful. But construction is necessary, and we know that, to keep things looking good. And the third thing is really demographics of the town, right? There's a lot of, it's an incredibly diverse demographic, especially in Mercer County, especially in the area. When we think of Princeton, and I think when any business opens up anywhere, you're thinking of the town, but you're also thinking about the general area and the region. And you can't really beat this region for a mixture of people and backgrounds and different sort of economic situations and all that stuff. And I think that really, when you look at Princeton, I always believe that we are the downtown for the region. Mm-hmm. You don't really have a downtown like Princeton's anywhere else in the area. And it's part of the reason why people drive 30, 45 minutes, an hour or more to use us as their downtown, even shorter distances. I think people, if you live in Lawrenceville or Pennington or things like that, you probably use Princeton as your downtown. Those towns have downtowns, but they're not as robust as Princeton. And so when I think about why a business would choose to do business here, it really checks a lot of the boxes. And one of the things, you mentioned co-tenancy, which I appreciate. It's one of the things that we really need to be thinking about on the Experience Princeton board, but also as a town in general, because this idea of co-tenancy, or who else is with you in the area, in the immediate area, was really a concept that was reserved for malls and shopping centers back in the day. It used to be, okay, what's the co-tenancy? Who's in the essentially the leased area next to me, the area that's being leased next to me? And I think coming out of the pandemic and coming out of the changing habits of shoppers and the way people like to shop, we know that people want to shop in downtown areas, open air, places that feel good. It doesn't feel generic like a mall does. And so the idea of co-tenancy has shifted to downtowns. And certainly businesses are looking at whether or not they should go into a downtown area, not just because of all the things I mentioned that Princeton offers, but also this idea of who's going to be next to me? Who am I slotting in between? Who's down the street? Who's around the corner? And I think it's one of our challenges in Princeton right now, quite honestly, in terms of we certainly have a few vacancies that I know Experience Princeton is working on, and I know that our property owners are working intently to fill. But having a good mix of aspirational and attainable and food and retail, and when it's we're talking food, is it quick service or is it full service? Mm-hmm. Having that really healthy mix is so important for a downtown area, and it's one of the things that I think Princeton can have because we've got the baseline, we've got some amazing businesses, and a really important concept as we think about who else, what other businesses we want in town, and who else would consider coming here.
So let me ask you this one. Based on your own businesses and your wide experience now dealing with many of the business owners here in town, do you have an estimate on what percent of the customers that shop in Princeton, so let's deal mainly with the downtown,
sure,
are actually from Princeton versus coming from somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you for asking that question, because I think it's one of the things when we were at the Merchants Association, we were trying to inform town council about, and also other residents about. So as I mentioned, I think Princeton is a downtown for the region. And at the Merchants Association, we did some work, anecdotal, it was not scientific, so let's get that out of the way. But talking to restaurant owners, business owners, and saying, if you had to make an estimate based on either zip codes from your credit card receipts, or if you have a CRM or customer database, what percentage of your business comes from Princeton versus outside? And pretty consistently, the mix was typically 75% outside of town, 25% from inside of town. Some businesses were closer to 50-50. Some businesses were like 90-10 in some cases. But never, ever did we speak to a business or have the data that suggested that it was ever more than half of the business coming from Princeton, which I think it's not to say that Princetonians don't shop in Princeton. They do. But I think more importantly, it shows what I was saying before, which is that Princeton feels like and is at this point a regional destination. When we say 75-25, that doesn't mean the 75% is not quote unquote like tourism, international tourism or anything like that. It could be someone from Lawrence Township. It could be someone from Hamilton. It could be someone from West Windsor. And we know from the client and database work that we do at Hamilton Jewelers, we know that our radius certainly stretches about 50 miles from the center of Princeton. So on any given day, someone coming into our store is typically coming from within 50 miles. And when you look at the data, there's a unbelievable source of data that will scare people potentially who are listening to this. You may want to turn off your cell phones, but it's called Placer AI. Actually, Experience Princeton has access to this data, as and Hamilton uses it as well. But it uses cell phone data to track movement of people and artificial intelligence to extrapolate from a small sample size. And that data shows pretty clearly that Princeton is being visited every single day by people from all over the region. So that's a long answer to your question. The short answer is, on average, it's about 75-25 outside of town versus inside of town. And certainly I think every business in Princeton would tell you that the loyal locals are the lifeblood of their business, and it needs to be. And that's true for us as well. But so much of that business and Princeton's allure comes from people who are coming here visiting or choose to shop here but don't live here. And the experience that we provide those people when they come is so important so that they come back.
Of course, yeah. You need them to come back.
Yep.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. I think you might have said this already in a couple of your other replies, but you grew up here in town?
I did. I was born at Helene Fold Hospital in Trenton and grew up here. I lived on, my parents lived on Van Deventer or Van Deventer, depending on who you ask, and then on Prospect Avenue, and I grew up in town my entire life.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's put you on the spot. Favorite businesses growing up and now?
So, all right, as experienced Princeton vice president, I love all businesses in town. I mean, listen, I remember growing up, first of all, we would go to, my brother and I were regulars at Chuck's in Hoagie Haven, and we still are, by the way. And we really have fond memories of my parents bought my first shoes from Hewlett's,
sure,
of course.
Yep.
And I used to go in there. I remember sitting and getting my feet measured on that. You'd stand on the metal plate and they would measure your feet. Adam Angelakis at Olives has always been a good friend and been going there forever. And really fond memories of the Annex restaurant underneath, on the corner of Tulane there in Nassau. Yeah. And I miss that sort of going down the stairs and all that stuff. So those are all really fond memories of our downtown businesses. These days, listen, Small World Coffee is across the street from my store. I start my day every day with a Small World Coffee, an extra fluffy cappuccino, and I'm a huge fan of everything that they do, not just in terms of the coffee that they brew, but everything they do for the community and for businesses and for really being a member of the community. I think that people always ask me, they say, what do I need to do to be successful in Princeton as a business owner? And I say, you cannot be, this town will, for all the right reasons, will not accept a absentee owner, right? You can be a chain store, you can be a mom and pop, you can be independent, you can be a franchise. None of that really matters. If you are present in the community and you engage the community and you do a good job of that, you'll be successful here. And so I'm a fan of all of our businesses who do that. And Jessica at Small World is just the epitome of that, I think.
Yeah, the town's lucky is that they have a lot of very involved business owners.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not all towns have that. And obviously we have stores in other locations, right? And Palm Beach is a very close-knit community with lots of involved merchants as well. And it's actually, there are a lot of interesting parallels between Princeton and Palm Beach, which is a conversation for another day. But there are certainly, we travel all over the world and go visit other towns to see what's good and what's new and what's happening. And you can tell where the towns are, where the merchants aren't as involved. You just know. There's not as much pride taken in the town and in the downtown. We're very lucky as a town.
Yeah. We are lucky that so many people come together for the betterment of the entire area. So you mentioned this. You didn't always work at Hamilton Jewelers. Where else did you work?
Not always. I was, as a young child, I was packing boxes, although no child labor or anything like that, by my own volition. And my high school summer jobs were always at our service counter. My father always told me, if you want to learn our business, you sit in service and you understand what people are bringing in and what's important to people. Yep. And you build relationships there because you're fixing heirlooms, right? But my first real job after I graduated college was in consulting. I was a management consultant for a sales effectiveness consulting firm. And that was an incredibly formative experience for me. I did that for about 7 years, traveled around the world in the United States, and I worked with Fortune 500s and Fortune 1000s, all helping them solve their sales issues. And what I learned was a lot of what I'm hoping I can apply at Hamilton when we deal with our clients and our community and our team members, which is that sales is sales, and that is what it is. But when you're really special is when you really understand the client. I don't care if you're selling jewelry or watches or home goods like we are, or if you're selling, I worked with medical device companies, I worked with pharmaceutical companies, I worked with missile defense contractors, all across the board. And when they really understood their customer, when they really understood the needs of the customer and weren't just trying to sell a widget just to make a sale, that's when really great things happened for the customer and for the company. And I'll never forget working with a pharmaceutical company that had, honestly, it was a drug that only a few people in the world really needed. We're talking dozens of people. It was for an incredibly rare disease. And you might imagine this was an expensive drug because only a few people are using it. And I was shocked, thinking maybe a pharma company would be obviously profit-driven and looking at that. I was shocked every single person I spoke to at that company cared more about the patient than the drug. And they were incredibly successful because that was, no one was pushing anything. They knew that people needed what they were selling and they were trying to get it in the right hands for a price that worked for them. And so that was an eye-opening thing for me as I came into my own business and learned about what we get to do every day, which is the best, which is help people celebrate their life's moments. This is what we do. People come to us for anniversaries, weddings, birthdays, graduations, right? We're right across the street. And to be able to play a small part in those people's life moments is, we take that very seriously and we care a lot about it. And I hope, and I think that's what makes us successful.
Yeah. No, thanks for that. So this next question kind of ties into a lot of what you said, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How does one get educated about running a business that involves fine jewelry, high quality watches, and so much more?
Oh man, I have a leg up because I grew up around it. Yeah. It's a very niche business. I always tell people it's a joke, but it's true. You need a doctor, you need a lawyer, you need an accountant, and you need a jeweler. We have this weird, very unique thing in our world where we sell things that are inherently beautiful and that evoke emotion, but are also inherently scientific. These are elements and that have essentially been created in the ground over billions of years and have crystallized in the perfect way to create a gemstone. And these are timepieces that are built under a microscope with steady hands and which tell time accurate to a couple seconds every day that are all mechanical and created by a master craftsman. And they're also beautiful. And so there is this very interesting mix of science and passion and art that we deal with in our business. And there's the only way to learn that, I feel like, is on the job. Because I came in understanding business and sales, I think, from my previous world, and learned everything I needed to learn about jewelry, gems, and the product that we sell from the great people that we have at Hamilton. Watching them do what they do, watching them fix a timepiece, watching them sketch out a new design, sitting with my father and my grandfather, who I was lucky to work with when I joined, to understand what pieces they were looking at and what was trending and what was important to people and how we would sell them. That's really on the job learning is how I did it. And I'm still learning. What's cool about our work is that you see a new gemstone or a new thing that was created by the shop, a new piece of jewelry or an issue with a watch that we're trying to fix. You see it every day. And it's a little bit of problem solving. It's a little bit of what would the client want and understanding the needs of the client so we can make those decisions. And it is a lot of on-the-job learning. We get to learn every single day.
Yeah, thank you. So how do you see the business climate in Princeton from a business owner's perspective?
I think it's an interesting question because I think like a lot of places right now, you could probably, I'm sure if you ask different business owners, they would tell you different things. I don't think there is a one size sort of fits all answer to that question. And by the way, we're seeing that in our other markets and in a lot of other markets around the country. There are some types of businesses that are doing quite well. There are some types of businesses that I think are having a tougher time. But in general, consumer confidence is still pretty strong and people are shopping and people are certainly dining. Oh my goodness. I'll go out to dinner on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday in town. It's remarkable. For those who are listening, if you haven't been to some of our restaurants, you got to come. it's an amazing scene and everything feels good. And the food is of course amazing. So I think it depends on the business. But what I will say is certainly the town is doing, I believe, the right things to invest in infrastructure, to position us for growth. I think we can be doing more. I certainly am worried about I think what appears to be Monday to Wednesday, a little bit softer foot traffic in town. Yeah. We also know though, and for those who are listening who are saying, I'm not going into Princeton because the traffic's crazy, we know that this is a little bit temporary, right? There's a lot of work that the municipality is doing right now, again, to invest in that infrastructure. And hopefully once that work is done, we're going to have a situation that's a little bit easier for people trying to get in and out of town. But what I will say is we must be doing a better job of, as I mentioned, welcoming all people who are coming into the town. Any sort of new businesses who are looking to open here are certainly going to have that 75-25 number in their heads. And one of the things, unfortunately, that we are hearing is a little bit of, oh, it's just too hard to get into Princeton right now. I'm not going to go in. And I can tell you personally, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that once you're here, it's an amazing place to shop and to dine and to spend a weekend. And we have a lot of tools, whether you're using Google Maps or you're using the town website or Park Princeton or whatever it is, that's going to be able to show you where the best place is to get into town and where you should be going. I think we can invest more in ways to make the experience better for people once they're here. And Experience Princeton is looking at that. We're certainly, it's certainly top of mind. And the number one thing that I would tell everyone is to keep supporting your local businesses, right? This is, if you have the opportunity to either purchase something in town or purchase it on Amazon, always try to purchase it in town, right?
Absolutely.
This is an easy thing that all of us can do to support our local merchants and make the business environment that much better. Again, help solve that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's a little bit quieter in town. Everyone listening, it's quieter in town. You can come in, you'll find a place to park, you can find a place to lock up your bike, and it's going to be a nice experience when you come. You can go grab some batteries from the store, you can do whatever you might have purchased online, household goods or whatever it is. Take care of that in town. Grab a coffee while you're here. That's the thing that we really want to encourage people to do when they come in, is don't just come to a downtown area for one individual thing and then leave, right? Let's make it can still be a quick trip. But come in, get your errand done, go grab a quick lunch, take out if you need to, grab a cup of coffee, bring your watch in for a battery repair, we'll help you while you wait. And those types of things help drive economic development in a town, as opposed to looking at the downtown like we do Amazon, right? Which is a quick one-click purchase and it gets delivered the next day. No, make it, get three purchases done in a row, you'll get it done relatively quickly and you'll have it that day as opposed to waiting.
Yeah. And I think people need to realize the town is committed to supporting our businesses. I mean, look at the work we've done on Witherspoon Street. We've widened the sidewalks. It's a much better pedestrian experience. We're carrying that experience all the way down Witherspoon Street. And you can shop in so many areas of Princeton. Obviously, there's the Central Business District, but businesses are on Nassau Street, literally from Bank Street all the way down past Harrison Street. You have the Princeton Shopping Center. You have Route 206 as you go towards Montgomery.
Yep.
There are so many businesses scattered around town. And parking, I know it's like an urban legend. You can never park in Princeton, or the traffic is always terrible. And that really isn't true. I mean, you and I are downtown a lot.
For sure.
I'm all over town.
Yep.
And it's rare that I can't find a parking space. And it's rare that it's really that hard to find that parking space in a short amount of time. But we have three parking garages.
Right.
And I don't mind parking in a parking garage. It's no big deal.
And I think, you know, first of all, you mentioned you're all over the place. And I just want to say here now, the merchant community thanks you for everything that you do and visiting our businesses and always posting about it. If you don't follow the mayor on his Instagram, you should. But you're right. Listen, I'm not going to sit on this podcast and say that traffic and parking isn't difficult sometimes. It is,
yeah.
But this is a good thing because people want to be in Princeton.
Yeah.
And what I would tell everyone is that one of the things we are trying to shift the focus on is really this idea of our garages. It used to be when Princeton was a little bit quieter, right? You could circle the block two or three times and you'd find street parking.
Yeah.
Now, Princeton's a little busier, and that might not happen, but what we're trying to impart on everyone is that's okay. Our three garages are really centrally located. They're not any more expensive necessarily than finding street parking. In fact, I think in a lot of cases, it's less expensive. And they're easy to get to, and it's okay to, especially if you're going to do what I mentioned a couple minutes ago, which is instead of a 10-minute trip, make it a 30-minute trip or a 40-minute trip. If you're going to be doing that for any extended period of time, the garage is a better bet for you. And to be able to do that, those options are available. I will say, I think it is important that we are looking at adding garage capacity. I do know, just so no one calls me a liar, right? I have the pleasure of walking to work on most days, but I walk by garages and I do see that they're full on weekends. And again, those are things that we need to work through. But for the most part, if we can direct people to the places that they need to get in an easy, efficient manner, in a way that's also aesthetically beautiful and looks good in a downtown, we can make the experience easier for people. And that's what we need to be working on. Again, if there's one thing that I say to council, and you've heard me say it also, it's the experience of getting to and being in Princeton. Experience Princeton is not just a word.
Right.
It's something that we're really moving towards. Experience is so important. Because otherwise, if the experience is bad, people will choose Amazon or they will choose the mall. And we don't want that. So the experience that people have when they get to town and getting into town has to be top of mind for us. And anything we can be doing to make that experience better has to be on the agenda. Has to be.
Yeah. And I think you don't need to park directly in front of wherever you think you're going to start your shopping because it is so nice to walk around town.
That's right.
And it's a great experience. And the other thing is, for those people that are used to going to a mall, it always amazed me that people would say, I'd rather go to a mall than go to shop in my local town. And so that makes no sense because you park at a mall parking lot and you're walking so far and then you're walking such great distances through a mall. Why not do that same amount of walking or probably less?
Probably a little less.
Outside, fresh air, and you see a lot of better businesses. And instead of shopping online, let me feel it, let me look at it, let me see, does it fit or whatever? How much do I really like it? And instead of looking at a picture, it's just a better experience.
Absolutely. And we know this. We have a store in a mall in Palm Beach Gardens, and it's an amazing mall. But the reason why we're there is because that mall cares about the experience, not just about what tenants are in their space. And everywhere that we look in terms of our stores, we care first and foremost about when you're walking around, what does it feel like? What is it clean? Is it a nice experience? Is it what you're looking for? Is it something that's going to entice you to get off the couch? And Princeton has that. And in the cases where we don't have that, we're working on it.
Yeah. And I think it's for everybody listening, Princeton is a great place. Come here, visit here, walk around, bike around, just enjoy yourself.
It's the best. You can't get, like I said earlier in the podcast, I don't think you can get this experience anywhere else in Central Jersey. I'm biased, but I think we're one of the best downtowns out there.
Andrew, I want to thank you. This has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to be on your podcast, and I welcome everyone who's listening to come visit us either at any of our Hamilton stores and also all of our great neighbors in the entire town of Princeton. It's a great place to live, work, and do business.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the 51st episode of the Princeton Podcast, produced by the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. If you enjoyed this episode of the Princeton Podcast, please share it with your friends. Visit our website at princetonpodcast.com and be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts.